Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Got to continue a little bit of our discussion yesterday and then hopefully try to find a way forward. I find that there are lots of people who are admonishing me on Facebook and everywhere else that talking about the past just isn't helpful. Well, I disagree. I think talking about the past is a great way for us to understand the way forward. And I also think it's important for all of us to recognize how incredibly unlucky we are. A whole bunch of things had to happen for Hillary Clinton not to be president of the United States, particularly when she beat Donald Trump by more than 2% in the popular vote. We've never had anyone lose the popular vote by 2% and still become president before. Almost 3 million people preferred Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. So all this, oh, you know, we Democrats need to radically change who we are. Well, no. I'm not saying we can't improve. We could talk about all the ways we can improve. I'm always up for improvement. I prefer a landslide over a close squeaker. But I just want you to imagine. Imagine that Jim Comey's letter had come out a day after it did. And therefore, 0.5% of voters didn't believe Hillary Clinton was a crook wrongfully because our FBI director decided to insert himself in the process. And just the amount that would have early voted that day, he did it a day later, went ahead and voted. And bingo, you have the tiny, tiny, tiny margins in those three states. I mean, it's not even 80,000. It's 10,000 in Michigan, 20,000 in Wisconsin, less than, and less than 45,000 in Pennsylvania. So imagine if Vladimir Putin had not decided to hack our election. Or imagine if the media had decided to harp on the fact that the greatest dictator, our greatest enemy, was working really hard to install his useful idiot Donald Trump in office. Imagine if the media had put the greatest terrorist attack against the United States since 9/11 in context. They spent a lot of time on 9/11. We remember that. But with all important deference to the 3,000 innocent people who died on September 11th, that terrorist attack was not as successful as Russia's. That terrorist attack murdered innocent people. It was a horrific, horrific day, but we rebuilt. It didn't fundamentally change who we are as a country. It did not take over our political system. Russia's did. Russia's installed for the next 4 years someone who is dedicated more to pursuing his own financial interests, which include Russia's, because he almost certainly owes a lot of money that he's refusing to disclose to Russian banks. We won't know unless we see his tax returns. I mean, that dramatically will change the nation. Many, many, many more people will die than on September 11th. Just taking away people's health care will cause tens of thousands to die. So for all the media attention that happened for September 11th, how come there isn't 1/100th of the media attention for the single greatest terrorist attack on American soil, I guess since Pearl Harbor? A few more people died on September 11th than at Pearl Harbor, but Pearl Harbor fundamentally changed the nation. It brought us into World War II. Arguably, in hindsight, I don't want to say it was a good thing, but I will say it's a good thing we were in World War II. I would say it's a good thing we defeated Nazi Germany. Imagine if we hadn't gotten involved in that. What kind of world we would have lived in. But this was a terrorist attack that fundamentally took us in a negative direction. So imagine if Putin hadn't done it. Imagine if the media had called him out on it. Imagine if, and I'm willing to criticize President Obama. Imagine if President Obama had actually sat in the Oval Office, which he rarely did. He rarely gave us speeches from the Oval Office, from his desk, and said, the Russians have done the greatest terrorist attack in American history. We cannot let them succeed. As Americans, we must fundamentally reject any espionage attack by our enemy and fundamentally not let this affect us in the election. Imagine if every Democratic commentator were told, if they ask you about the email, say, how dare you? How dare you try to justify Russian espionage against the United States? That's disgusting. It's offensive, news media. It's offensive. Now, I don't know. Maybe it would have failed. Maybe everyone would think that we're trying to cover it up. But what do we think are to think of a Republican Party that today gives Barack Obama an approval rating of 16% and Vladimir Putin an approval rating of 37%? Why do Republicans today support totalitarianism, support dictators? Why are Republicans today so anti-American? Well, they've been trained to be. Heck, even Glenn Beck apologized for putting forward all this divisiveness that we've seen, whether through fake news or anything else. So again, Putin, Comey. But yeah, I'm not going to say Hillary Clinton was the perfect candidate. She wasn't. She wasn't bad, though. She got 3 million more votes than Donald Trump. We think of the Romney-Obama election as a landslide in 2012. You know how many more votes he got than Mitt Romney? 5 million. He won by less than 4%. Hillary won by more than 2%. So 2% of America switched. You could say 2% of Democrats didn't show up, or maybe 1% switched sides, maybe in the Midwest. 1 in 100 Americans changed their minds. 1 million votes out of 125 million cast. That's not a huge number. 80,000, as we know, in three very important states. Now, yeah, in hindsight, sure, Hillary Clinton should have gone to Wisconsin. Yeah, I don't remember too many people saying that before the election. Sure, she should have gone to Michigan, but honestly, having lost in Pennsylvania, where she did go several times, that was enough. Sure, she should have supported unions more. I'm all for that. I'll tell you something else, though, and I got into a huge fight on Facebook about this. The Green Party candidate, whose name really should not have even been mentioned by the media, and I'm angry at the media for treating her like she was a legitimate candidate. At least Gary Johnson, the third party candidate who got third place, at some times had as much as 10% of the vote. It went down to 3 by Election Day. I guess because they mentioned Gary Johnson, they felt they had to mention Jill Stein. I don't know why. She'd never gotten more than 0.5% before. Ralph Nader got 2 or 3% in the Gore Bush years. But they mentioned her, so they put her name there. I don't think they should have mentioned her at all. And she got more votes in Wisconsin than the margin between Hillary and Donald in Wisconsin. She got more votes in Michigan than the margin in Michigan. She got more votes in Pennsylvania than the margin in Pennsylvania. If the people who voted for Jill Stein, who call themselves progressives and pretend that they actually care about liberal values, pretend that they actually are opposed to discrimination, if they had simply held their nose and voted for Hillary, Donald Trump wouldn't be president. Now, that's not the only factor. I wrote about this on Facebook. They're like, Mark, how can you focus on this? No, I focus on all the factors, and that's one of them. And I got a bunch of Green Party people telling me they voted their conscience. No, you voted for Donald Trump. Don't tell me you're a progressive. Don't tell me you're a liberal. You're not. You are a Trumpist. So go join the KKK or some organization that you belong in. But please don't tell me what a good progressive you are. You're not. If you live in a swing state and you voted for Jill Stein, don't talk to me again. Go away. Go away. I'd rather talk to a Trumpist. I'd rather talk to someone who voted for Donald Trump, who was misguided, who was conned, who didn't understand how bad Donald Trump could be, because they are persuadable. But you folks who decide to sit out the election, yeah, when you voted for Jill Stein, you decide to sit out the election. Get out of my face. Go away. I don't want you around me. I've said this a lot. I've said this for decades. If you don't care enough to vote for President of the United States, you have zero right to complain about anything in this country. Oh, no, I'm not going to censor you. No, I'm not going to take away your First Amendment rights. I don't have power to do that, and I wouldn't anyway. The KKK has First Amendment rights. You can talk, just not to me. I don't care about you. You're meaningless to me. You have abdicated the one duty you have as a citizen, which is to vote. And yes, unless the parties are equally terrible in your mind, then you have to vote for one of the two parties. Unless a third party candidate gets over, 15%, so you think they have a chance of victory, you got to vote for one of the two parties. So I'm not going to argue with them anymore on Facebook. I'm just going to say, look, if you voted for Jill Stein, you voted for Donald Trump. And if you voted for Donald Trump, I'm more interested in talking to you than if you voted for Jill Stein. Because if you voted for Jill Stein, you just said you did the same as not voting. Even worse than not voting. You took the time to come to the polls. You were free that day. You didn't have a sick child, right? You didn't have an emergency. You actually made it to the polls. And then, to make yourself feel good, you decided not to vote against Donald Trump for the one candidate that had a chance of beating him. And then the other thing that really gets me, and this goes into my nice guys finish last argument of yesterday, is I'm really, really tired of hearing fake news by Democrats, by progressives, by liberals. Okay, I get it. People on the right are easily fooled. People on the right, many of them are ignorant and uninformed. That's why a guy went to shoot up a pizza joint in D.C. He thought Hillary Clinton had a child sex ring down in the basement. Okay, and we say he's disturbed or... But and we know that half of Republicans or 40% of Republicans still believe Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Heck, a quarter of Americans believe Donald Trump won the popular vote. A quarter of Republicans. But I'm not here to try to convince Republicans to believe in truth. That's really hard to do. But if you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat, and you come up and you say to me, oh, Donna Brazile gave Hillary the debate questions. No, she didn't. Learn what you're talking about. Donna Brazile told Hillary Clinton that a debate in Flint, Michigan, that the first question was going to be about Flint, Michigan. And if you don't know why the debate was in Flint, Michigan, it's because of the water, if you didn't know, because the Republicans changed the water supply there and decimated the health of tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands. If you don't know why they were in Flint, trust me, Hillary Clinton knew why they were in Flint. So talk about making a big deal out of nothing. That's like telling Hillary Clinton, you know what, when you go on the debate stage, you're going to be standing. Okay. Actually, she may not even know that. Let me think of something less important. When you go on the debate stage, you may be asked a question about the economy. So be ready in case you're asked a question about the economy. That's more information than Donna Brazile gave Hillary Clinton, who in Flint, Michigan, which Hillary had asked to be in because of the crisis there, occurred in Flint. So no, the DNC didn't put their thumbs on the scale. If you believe that, you've been tricked. You've been tricked by Steve Bannon and Vladimir Putin and all the other fake news. If you're on the left, if you're a liberal, and you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, then you know what? Go away. Go away. Do penance. I'll tell you how to do penance. I want you to work in state elections. I want you to come here and help us in Virginia in 2017. I want you to help us in North New Jersey, also in 2017. I want you to help North Carolina, which is turning to tyranny now as the legislature overturns the Democratic elections they just had there. Go help in North Carolina. Go help us in 2018 win Congress back. Come back in 2020 and participate in the Democratic primaries. Don't not participate and then complain about it. And then vote for the best candidate in 2020 that has a decent chance of winning. Then you can win the right to come back and talk to me about your issues. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, talking about the way forward from here. I think we have to understand what happened before we can move forward. Lots of callers, particularly I want to talk to the ones in North Carolina. Stick on the line with me. Very short segment here, but I'll have more time after the break. Let's go to Russell in North Carolina on line three. Go ahead, Russell.
I just want to tell you thank you for keeping the truth going about the with the Russians, but I just want to tell you not everybody in North Carolina voted for Trump.
I
voted for Hillary, and it was so disappointing to see what happened.
I know that, and I also know, Russell, that you managed to eke out a win for your Democratic governor, Governor Cooper, and I'm very concerned, and I hope you are, by what's going on in North Carolina right now. I can't think of any time in American history where we've had an election that was won, and then the parties in that state worked to overturn the election after it was won. Maybe the other example I can think of is Bush v. Gore, but what's the mood in North Carolina like right now? Are people hopping angry? Because they should be.
Well, I was going to tell you, the majority of them are like they're righties. You can't get them to see the truth. And I hate that. And most of our state legislature is mostly Republican, and it's sad.
Are you going to work to help change that? Because I know one of the things is that because North Carolina violated the Voting Rights Act and packed basically all the minorities in a district and then implemented those Jim Crow voting laws, the districts in North Carolina are some of the most gerrymandered in the country. But luckily, because you don't have control in your state, you don't have a democracy in your state, but luckily the federal courts are going to redraw your districts next year. I don't know whether you can have an election. You might even have one in 2017. I'm not sure about that. But this will be a real opportunity to take back the steakhouse. All you need is one-third of one chamber to give Governor Cooper the power to stop some of the awful things the Republicans want to do. Are you working on that down there?
I'd really like to, and I'd like to friend you on Facebook somehow, because I don't get to get on the Internet much, but I want to keep the show. I just want people to see, like you said, Trump is the Russian puppet of Putin.
Yeah.
That's so sad that people can't see it.
Well, I'm on Facebook.com/Mark Levine Talk. You can always find my show there. You can come to my personal page, Mark Levine. Just send me a message when you friend me saying that you listen to the show, and I'll invite you in and spread the word. Let people know, because your state is very, very important. My state's very important, swing state, Virginia. We just barely turned blue. You just barely turned red. We're kind of neighboring states here with actually a similar – we have a similar kind of state in that we have rural areas that are very, very Republican and some of the cities that are very liberal. And we're fighting for the heart and soul of our state up here. I know you are down there. So go to the state house. Go and stand and protect your democracy as much as you can. I think Governor Cooper may well win his court case. I really hope so. Anyway, stick around with me if you want, Russell. I got some other calls too. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Still trying to put a trying to understand what happened the last election. I've talked about many things. I've talked about Jim Comey. I've talked about Russia. I've talked about Jill Stein. I've talked about Hillary Clinton. Again, I think it's easier with hindsight, but sure, she should have spent more time in the Midwest. Sure, she should not have been complacent, should not have taken anything for granted. That's easy to say. Though I have to say that less than 1%, it wasn't even just Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. If she just won Florida and North Carolina, she wouldn't have needed Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And those are 1% elections too. So 1%, you know, lots of things. We would have talked. Can you imagine, you know, if... I don't know, Comey. Maybe Comey coming back hurt Hillary Clinton, because even in exonerating her, saying she didn't do anything wrong, that confused people. I don't know. Maybe if that hadn't happened, she would have won 1%. maybe if we'd had a bit of a better ground game, and maybe if Robbie Mook had been a better campaign manager, we would have gotten 1%. If Hillary Clinton had won 1% more, then we'd be talking about, wow, she managed to do it. You know, it was closer than we expected. But despite Russia and Comey, you know, got to give her credit. I mean, this is the kind of thing that flip of a coin happened. Trump did overwhelmingly in these places. So, as Ezra Klein points out in his article, it's easier to explain and talk about where Hillary Clinton can find 1%. There's lots and lots of places she could find 1%. Like I said, just take Jill Stein's voters and bing, she wins. It's a lot harder to explain Trump. Who are the 46? It's not even 46. The less than 46% of Americans that voted for Donald Trump. Why did evangelicals vote for Donald Trump? He's not the most Christian kind of guy. I saw a really good article, by the way, that said Hillary Clinton should have reached out to evangelicals, and I agree with that. I'm not saying she would have won their vote, the majority, but she could have increased from 16% to 25%, which is what Obama had. She happens to be a pretty religious person. Get there, go there, talk about her very religious principles. I mean, from the Methodist Church, we heard more religion from Hillary Clinton when she conceded than we heard during the election. Donald Trump went to them many, many, many times, and he knows nothing about religion or Christianity, and God knows he doesn't give a damn about God. So, yeah, it's easy to say in hindsight what she should have done. I want to know what Democrats need to do moving forward. I can tell you this. The battle lines are in the states. They're right now in North Carolina, where people need to flock down there and help them defend the governor who just got elected. Next year, they're in Virginia, my home state. I'll be talking a lot about Virginia, not just because I'm a Virginia state delegate, but because Virginia is the battle line in 2017. We're having a 14-year election in Virginia. 14 years. Whoever elects, if the Democrats elect the governor in Virginia, we can redistrict the state and have control by 2021. If the Republicans elect a governor, we become just like North Carolina until 2031. 14 years, we become like Mississippi. All the wonderful progressive places, Alexandria, Arlington, and Virginia, we become like, a conservative hell. So, yeah, it's a great chance for people to show. If you don't live in Virginia, come help us. Come help me. I can tell you lots of ways to help me. Send me an email. Send it to mark@marklivingtalk.com or mark@markfordelegate.com. I'll give you lots of ways to help. You can donate. You can volunteer. The states are the battlegrounds. Go in your home state. Help elect. Do you know the name of your state legislator? I could tell you, don't feel bad if you don't. The vast majority of Americans do not know the name of their state legislator. In fact, I dare say 90% don't. In fact, I bet most of you listening to me right now don't. So when we're done, at the bottom of the hour, I want you to go to Google and find out who represents you in your state. Who's your state senator? Who's your state representative? Help the Democrats at the local level. The Republicans have gerrymandered the House. Remember, we won the House in 2012. We won it. We have more votes than they did, but nope, the gerrymandering stopped us. How do you stop gerrymandering? By helping us in the states. The Republicans outspent us 3-1 in 2010 in the states. And we're still living under those repercussions. Imagine if Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania had Democrats in the legislature. Maybe they actually would have done a full recount. Because, you know, they didn't, thank you, Stein, they didn't manage to do those recounts other than to run them through the same machines because they couldn't look at the paper records. What's the whole point of paper records if you don't look at them during a recount? The battle lines are in the states. Russell, I know you had a little bit more to say in North Carolina. Please share with me. What do you got?
Yes, sir. I live in the county of Buncombe, and 90% of it is rich people. But I'm one of them workers that doesn't have rights, because in this state you can't even have any kind of union of any type.
Russell, do workers in North Carolina know that Democrats stand up for unions, that we fight for unions every day? We had a ballot measure in Virginia, an anti-union ballot measure that we managed to defeat. Do they know the Democrats are on their side? Because some union people apparently didn't get the message last month.
I don't think very many, because I think that I just wish people would, and whenever you go to restaurants around here, they have that Fox News on all the time. You can't get it's drilled into people, and I don't know how to change the environment.
Well, a lot of it was the media. I'm actually going to play a clip by Christiane Amanpour about the media in just a few minutes. So you're right about the media. Listen, Fox News didn't exist in the mid-90s. We had news sources that basically agreed on facts. We didn't have people pushing out fake news. So we got trouble. It's really hard to get the truth out. I mean, you know, I'm a liberal talk radio host. You know how rare I am? I'm close to a unicorn here. I don't think there's 5% of radio talk show hosts in the country. This is a country that's majority liberal, right? Majority liberal country. The majority voted for, 65 million people voted for Hillary Clinton. I guarantee you, not 10% of them can listen to progressive radio. Where they can listen to conservative radio, all of us. That's a problem. Well, where do you listen in North Carolina? Are you in Nashville area?
That is correct. You nailed it right there.
Yeah, no, I know, because that's our local station there. So do me a favor, praise your local station, thank them for having people like me on the air, thank them for allowing an alternative voice, that's how we can talk, you and me, and encourage your friends in Charlotte and in Raleigh and in Greensboro to ask their radio stations, because Charlotte, that's a pretty liberal place, to call their radio stations and say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have progressive talk in Charlotte, you should, there's this guy Mark Levine, put him on the air. Will you help me out there?
I'll do my best. I'll see if I can make some friends that live down that way. I don't know if I have that much say, but I'll do what I can.
You can at least share my show. I'll keep fighting for you, Russell. You keep fighting for your state. North Carolina is on the battlefront. It's absolutely the battleground, America. And I really appreciate your calling in and sharing your wisdom with us. Call in again. I want to talk with you at some point about some of the people down in Buncombe County. All right. Thanks for calling in. Okay, let's go to Paul in Massachusetts. He is on line 4. Hey, Paul. Oh, no, line 1. Excuse me, line 1.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello, Mark. Hello. First off, starting after Shabbos Saturday night, I want to wish you a happy Hanukkah.
Thank
Hope you.
You
light Hanukkah menorah.
I will. I'll be there.
My mother lives in North Carolina, and she did not vote for Trump. And I can tell you, I do know who my congressman is. And my state rep, and my state senator.
Good for you. You know how rare you are?
Yeah.
That's rare and wonderful.
but I just wanted to say, you definitely sort of picked a lot of the low-hanging fruit about that, sort of the obvious shortcomings of the Hillary campaign. But, you know, there's all kinds of things you can point to, but, you know, there's just so much willful blindness and celebration of ignorance and stupidity in this country. And, you know, the voter fraud and the suppression of black, brown, and poor votes.
No question. Particularly in places like North Carolina. That's exactly right.
Right. But just in terms of myself, Mark, if I lived in a swing state, I maybe would have held my nose and voted for Madam Secretary, but I did in Massachusetts with 77,000 other voters.
That's fine, Paul. Look, as long as you tell me that if you lived in a swing state, you would have voted for Hillary Clinton. If you live in Massachusetts or California or New York, or for that matter, you know, Idaho or Alabama. I'm not going to blame you if you voted for Jill Stein in those states. I'm specifically talking about swing state voters.
Jill Stein's a wing nut.
Well, I think she's a wing nut too.
can I just tell you? Let me just tell you why. I mean, I clearly understand. You know, Trump is so bad that I can't fault anyone for having voted for Hillary, you know, as a lesser evil. For myself, I can just tell you why I can't, you know, the Iraq war invasion, Madam Secretary is such a smart woman. I knew that the Iraq invasion would get us to where we are today, which is an endless catastrophe. There's literally no end
to it. I'll tell you, Paul, I disagree with the Iraq war. If you go back on my website, marklevinetalk.com, you will find hundreds of shows, because I remember I've been on the air since 2003, so I did hundreds of
shows. I know you know this.
Opposed to the Iraq War. Hillary Clinton made a wrong vote. Yeah, a bad wrong vote. You know,
look,
I mean, but
and it's
but,
not just a wrong vote. It wasn't just a wrong vote.
Which she has apologized for. I think when you have 35 years of public service, you're going to make some mistakes. I'm not saying it wasn't a mistake, but
it wasn't a mistake. She knew exactly what she was doing. It wasn't a mistake.
Mm.
She knew what she was doing.
You know, when the president of the United States lies to you, I think it takes a certain kind of person to. I think she learned the hard way that she couldn't trust the new president. And she regrets that. She said she made a terrible mistake. But I guess, and you're not in a swing state, but and I don't want, because we're really talking about old news now. But I hope people will look when Hillary Clinton goes and history looks at her. I hope they will look at her entire several decades of public service, beginning in the Children's Defense Fund in the 70s. This is a woman who 95% of the time has been on the right side of the issue and has fought for progressive causes. And one of my real problems, I got to say, Paul, and I know you're not in a swing state, but I find that too many on my side, on the left, too many liberals, are looking for this perfection, looking for this nirvana that does not exist.
Nope.
The only politician that's ever going to agree 100% with you is if you run yourself. And heck, I ran myself, so I understand that. All right, I just want you to be fair and weigh on the scale. I'm not defending her Iraq War vote, but I do think she had a very long history of looking out for people that I just think I think Hillary Clinton would have been a fine president. Not perfect, of course not, but
I agree.
She would have been a fine president.
She moved the country forward.
Right.
But the Iraq War was when she knew what she was doing. You have to understand
yeah.
that.
Paul, I'm not gonna relitigate that. I respect your call. I appreciate your calling in. You know my views on it. But we could talk past each other about that for the next hour, so I'm gonna move on. But I do appreciate your call, Paul. Thank you very much. I do want to play, and then I'm gonna get to a couple other callers, but I want to play something that Christiane Amanpour, CNN analyst, who I respect tremendously, said just the other day about the media, because I think the media played a major, major role in ruining this country. And I'm not even talking about the fake news, which was awful. I'm even talking about mainstream sources, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, in the way they covered things. And, well, let me play what she has to say, because she says it better than I do, and then I'll talk on the other side.
Now, at the start of this campaign, a network news president said that this phenomenon, while it may not be good for America, was good for us. During an interview on my program earlier this summer, the filmmaker historian Ken Burns asked me, what would Edward R. Murrow do? First, like many people watching where I was overseas, I admit that I, like them, was shocked by the exceptionally high bar put before one candidate and the exceptionally low bar put before another candidate. It also appeared that much of the press, much of the media, was tying itself in knots, trying to differentiate between balance, between objectivity, neutrality, and crucially, the truth. We cannot continue the old paradigm. We cannot, for instance, keep saying, like it was over global warming, where 99.9% of the science, the empirical facts, the evidence, is given equal play with the tiny minority of deniers. I learned a long, long time ago, when I was covering the genocide and ethnic cleansing in Bosnia, never to equate victim and aggressor. Never to create a false moral or factual equivalence. Because then, if you do, particularly in situations like that, you are party and accomplice to the most unspeakable crimes and consequences. So I believe in being truthful, not neutral. And I believe we must stop banalizing the truth. We have to be prepared to fight especially hard right now for the truth, because this is a world where the Oxford English Dictionary just last week announced its word for 2016, and that is post-truth. We have to accept that we have had our lunch handed to us by the very same social media that we have so slavishly been devoted to.
Be truthful, not neutral. The journalist's job has to be to tell the truth, not to be neutral. If someone says 2 plus 2 equals 4 and someone else says 2 plus 2 equals 5, you don't say, controversy, what does 2 plus 2 equal? You say one person is telling the truth and the other is a liar. The other is a liar. If 99.9% of scientists say global warming is real and 0.1% say it's false, then you need to give 999 times as much coverage to the people who are truthfully talking about global warming as the 1 out of 1,000 that says it's not. We must defend the truth. I was just talking with Paul about what Christian Amanpour said. The tremendously high bar for Hillary Clinton. She must be perfect. She must walk on water. She must be an angel. She must never have taken a wrong vote in her life. Versus the incredibly low standard for Donald Trump. Well, he only sexually assaulted 30 women. And he only cheated 3,500 people, at least enough to file lawsuits. And he only defrauded thousands at Trump University, and he only refused to disclose taxes and the only blah blah. I can go on.
What?
I can go on for hours. You know how it is. Christian Amanpour, there's a lot of wisdom there. A lot of wisdom. I hope to be hearing a lot from you in the future. Lots more calls. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Not much time left. Going to quickly get to all my callers. If I don't get to you today, you can call in tomorrow. Call in early, and I'll get to your call. The sooner you call in, the more time you get. Jake in California, line three. Go.
Hi, Mark. I'd just like to remind people that next year, 28 assembly seats will be up for re-election in North Carolina.
Wow.
Because the courts have already determined that the Republican Party in North Carolina is an egregious violation of the Voting Rights Act.
You're absolutely right. But
districts unconstitutionally.
But you're absolutely right. Is it 2017 or 2018? Is it 2017 they'll be up?
Oh, it'll be 2017. It's next year.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you, Jake, for sharing that with me. I'm going to be harping on that then all through 2017. Virginia and North Carolina, we need to elect delegates in the House of Delegates and make those states turn from red to blue. Thank you, Jake. Quickly, Catherine in Santa Fe, line one. Go.
All right, so Mark, I hear you railing against the media, as if all media is the same.
It's not all the same. You're right.
You never mention the corporate-owned aspect of the media, which is really playing this just like a media spectacle.
Yeah, go to Mother Jones, go to Nation.
We have to learn to be educated enough to be able to differentiate the various kinds of media and really finding a way to get to the truth.
Fair points, Catherine. Mother Jones, The Nation, there's The New Republic, three things that I recommend. And I think that The Washington Post and The New York Times, they're not perfect, but they do strive to get at the truth. Sometimes they focus on the wrong things, but what they publish isn't false. Sorry to cut you off. I don't have much time. Hank in New Mexico, line four, finish up for me.
In contracts, most law, there's a covenant, an implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing.
Right.
I see that being completely absent in politics, and we need to get it put back in if we possibly can.
In which kind of politics? 5 seconds, 10 seconds, what do you mean? Who's not acting in good faith? The Republicans?
And acting against public interest, all the rest of there needs to be
absolutely.
A reassertion of good faith and fair dealing.
Absolutely, and to find out, I think all you have to do is look at these laws that allow lobbyists to pay all this money to politicians, and in return, they write the legislation. I'll tell you who does the worst. ALEC, the Legislative Exchange Council, this is put forward by right-wingers. They basically charge, you give me this much money in my campaign, and I let you write the law for me. That is corruption at its finest, and we got to put a stop to it. Fight in the states, North Carolina and Virginia, that's the way forward, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same channel.